Today's special episode is brought to you by Starting Points, Operationally Curious Questions. Begin pre-event learning with our best-selling Operationally Curious Conversation Starters. Download the app at startingpoints.app or the App Store, and purchase card decks at www.startingpointcards.com.
Hello, howdy, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I want to not talk about hop today. I want to really not talk about safety, but what we're going to talk about applies to both of those and so much more in your life. So let's get weird with it. Let's just jump right on in. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I hope that you are doing freaking awesome wherever you find yourself in this big, wild, crazy, weird, strange, but most important of all, awesome and amazing world. Man, it's always way better than it is bad. And I think that's something that we always have to remember. I saw one of those little like LinkedIn, Instagram kind of, you know, meme inspirational things the other day. And some of those are good. Some of those are just, you're like, okay, great. More, what do we call it? Toxic positivity. I think that's kind of crap though. Toxic positivity. I would much rather be smiling than frowning any day of the week. I would much rather be smiling and excited when I'm going through shit than to be everything's terrible. Like, I'm just, that's not me. I don't mean to be blinded by positivity when things are crap. I don't mean to just smile and say it is what it is and not do anything about it when you can. I don't mean that, but you get to choose your mood every day. Yeah, I wake up on the wrong side of the bed with the best of them. I don't know. I've been trying real hard to just say, screw it, quit being a baby, life's good. I think back to that meme inspirational quote thing that we were talking about. It said something along the lines of, like, remember, like, not that long ago, yeah, when you were praying, you were begging, you were pleading to be doing what you're doing. Yeah, we've all got that thing. Yeah, maybe we're not quite where we want to be. But it's pretty stinking close. we're well on our way, right? Remember when you were begging and praying to be where you're at right now? Yeah, I remember those moments. I don't know. I've got goals. I've got big ones, and you do too. And I don't know. I'm not there. I'm not there yet. And you're probably not either. And I don't know if we ever get there. But what I do know is I'm on my way, and I don't know, that one stuck with me for a few days, and I was like, that's true. Take a second and just be thankful, and that goes a long way. Before we jump into today's episode, let me tell you to check out the website, thehopnerd.com. Make sure you're checking out all of our little funny, hilarious, I hope hilarious, thought-provoking, provocative videos in which we poke fun of some of the ways that we've approached safety and so many other things at work. Go check those out. You can find probably the easiest way to find them is just to follow Sam Goodman, me. You'll see my ugly mug over on LinkedIn. That's a real easy way to find them. We post all of them there. If you want to get at them first, if you want to see them first, the place to do that is Instagram at the Hop Nerd. And if you want to get some of our content that we only put on YouTube, like the collection of these clips, the full show that I've been making out of these is over at The Hop Nerd on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe there. I'm always pumping out stuff and some different stuff that you don't get anywhere else. And that's kind of goes for Instagram, too. You get more of those like little like live opportunities where I just jump on live, or you'll see the, what do they call that? Story. You get story stuff. Hold on. It's not coffee. I've already had two of those today. This is actually a Starbucks cup filled with water. Hydrate. hydrate today. I'm recording this one a little bit later than what I normally do. And that's for good reason, though. Back to some of those videos. I was just shooting some of those today. I'm trying to build up a bit of a stockpile of those, so we've got plenty of them to share, especially as travel starting to ramp up and the gigs are starting to ramp up. The calendar is starting to get squeezed, compressed, full. So let me know. Also, that's a side point here. As you know, I've got to tell you that. Hit me up, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or head over to thehopnerd.com and book an initial consult. You'll see all kinds of ways to get into contact there, get some time on my calendar to chat if you need a hand with your human and organizational performance journey, from hop fundamentals to hop and operational learning deep dives to coaching and learning team facilitation. And a big one, what I spend most of my time doing, it feels like these days, other than workshops, is keynoting. Get in touch. Just drop me a line sooner than later. You know, I've told you this a bazillion times, so this is a bazillion and one. I hate saying no if it's something cool. And like, I really want to work with you, and you really want to work with me, and we really want to make that really badass keynote happen. And then you say, it's on this date. And I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I hate that. And I don't use that big H word hardly at all. But that's one thing I think I can safely say that I do hate. And the easiest way to eliminate that is by getting in contact sooner than later and getting that date first. Yeah, that's really the way to do it. Again, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Or check out the website. You can check out the services. You can check out the free resources. We've got the merch shop over there. You can check out Starting Points, the app, the card decks. You can do all that stuff from thehopnerd.com. That is pretty much your one-stop shop for everything that we've got going on up around here. I think with all of that out of the way, I think the only other thing I want to share with you is to back to maybe some of that YouTube topic is I'm starting to vlog. And I did it a bit like years back. I played with it and it just kind of wasn't for me. It just wasn't for me. I've really found, I think, my lane with some of these comedy videos, and just it's just a great way to plant seeds and make it hilarious kind of all at the same time, right, to prompt some deep thinking about why the hell do we do that? Those kind of things. I have fun. That's you. If anybody out there, if you know me or we've talked about this, you know that I have a few rules when it comes to the work that I do. One of those rules is it's got to be fun. Now, there's a couple other ones, right? This is how I choose to work with folks. This is how I choose to take on projects. This is how I choose to do anything with the Hop Nerd, the Hop Nerd LLC, this podcast, anything that goes along with that. A few of those rules. The first thing is got to be good work. Yeah, we got to be doing it for the right reasons. Yeah. Check. And last but not least, it's got to be fun. I'm not doing it if it's not fun. And what I mean by that is I don't mean like, oh, this sucks and this is going to be tough and this is going to be hard, so that's not fun. Like the first people that like hit me back on that, they're like, that means you don't do hard. No, like it's like the challenge is fun. I like that. Like that's, you get what I'm saying. If you're here, you know what I'm saying. It's got to be fun. Yeah, it's got to be something that I want to invest my time into. If it sucks, it's got to be something that I want it, or if it's something I have to suffer for, I want it to be something that I want to suffer for. Yeah, because it's going to be fun. It's going to be worthwhile. It's good work. We're doing it for the right reasons, and it's fun. Yeah. You know me. I'm not here to work with everybody. That's not my goal. My goal is not to take on every project, to dominate the world of human and organizational performance and safety, as so many others in this world will espouse that as their goal, is to just be like the premier contract provider for workshops. Like, nope. Not it. That's not me. That's just not what I do. My thing is to work with people that want to work with me. And people that I want to work with. That's it. Yeah. Good work. Right reasons. Having fun. Working with the people that want to work with me. Not some like nameless, faceless consulting firm to come out and just give us the hop stuff. Like, not like we want Sam to come out and give us this stuff, to have these conversations with us. Those are the people. Those are the organizations that I work with, y'all. You know that. I don't know. This is a rambly rant to come back to. It's got to be fun. And we're making those videos because they're useful. We're doing it for the right reasons. They're planting those seeds. They're watering those seeds of change. And it's a shit ton of fun along the way. Hold on a little bit more, hydration here. But back to the vlog. I didn't do it before because it wasn't fun. it just wasn't a lot of fun. But I've taken up this challenge. And let me share a little bit with you about what I mean by that before we move on to the main part of the segment. All this intro and the main segment kind of goes together today. But we will be transitioning here with the nice little bump music here in just a minute to let us know that we have officially made it over to that. But I've started to take up this challenge, and it's this 100-day vlogging challenge. Now, that doesn't mean like 100 episodes of vlogs. I'm going to roll a bunch of days together. But where this started, just so you know, it started with this idea that I'm really unhealthy right now. Yeah. So it started with this idea of like, okay, I need to get in better health. If you don't know the story, years and years and years back, like I was big. And what I mean by big is I am not a tall guy. I'm vertically challenged. Do you know that? And I like it. I like my height. I'm perfectly fine with my height. I love it. To give you some perspective here, I'm like 5'7" on a good day, 5'8". 5'8"'s pushing it on a real, real good day. And way back many years ago, I got up to like 365, 370 pounds, like big. Yeah. Now I went like pedal to the metal, and I lost a whole bunch of weight. I lost all the way down to 185 pounds, I think was my lowest, 183, somewhere in the bottom half of the 180s. Over the past about 4 or 5 years though, I went wild. And for good reason. I'm not going to like just say it. I'm not going to say that world's fault. It's not the world's fault. It's my fault. but it was for real good reason. I like to stress eat. I like to do those things. We went through a little thing called COVID-19 where we were locked in the house and we couldn't go to the gym and all that kind of sort of stuff, which if you're anything like me, what that means is you're locked in the house, binge watching Netflix, doing as little work as you possibly can get away with while feasting day and night on all the delicacies that DoorDash has to offer. Yeah. We were downtown Phoenix. We live in downtown Phoenix at this time too. So not only did we have the full availability of everything DoorDash wise, but we were within walking distance of at least like 20 really great restaurants as well. Some of those being as close as a minute and a half walk, like quite literally right across the street. It took longer waiting for the little walk sign to come on at the intersection to cross to go to this amazing little Thai restaurant right across the street. So that meant like a bunch of Thai food and boba and sushi and pizzas and subs and everything else. And so that leads me to where I'm at right now, where I've been kind of chipping away at it, but not really taking it super seriously. Now, that's just one element of it. You got to realize that just prior to all of this stuff, a couple years prior to this, I think a couple years, something like that, yeah, the podcast started. And, you know, then my day job got a little bit more stressful through promotions and growth and different stuff like that. And challenges, let's be real, like challenges. When you're doing this stuff in real life, in the real world, working internal to organizations, there are challenges, stress-inducing challenges. And then so it built in there too, this whole content creation thing kind of grew a bit. Some of what we'll probably talk a little bit about today when we get to that part. But all that grew, and then the business started to grow from being mostly just talking about Hop to then doing some gigs to then doing some consulting and all this on the side. And you know the story, until it got to the point where I had to pick one and I chose it. And then so now you throw being a solopreneur on top of this kind of like you eat one day and you don't kind of stuff. Right. And so stress. And then, I was managing it pretty good, at least how I felt. But then all of this is kind of caught up. And what I mean by that, is I just woke up and I'm like, man, I'm not exhausted. I've got plenty of like oomph and drive and passion. But I don't know, something feels off. I've got to change something. And so, yeah, I've been chipping away at that. Let me kind of shorten this down to the point. I got to the point where like something's got to change. So that's kind of where this 100-day challenge started was, I need a way to be a bit more accountable to myself. I'm very much one of those people that will do like great during the day. Boy Scout, Saint. 11 p.m. rolls around. I can't sleep for whatever reason. Boom, like I'll eat an entire cake. So I think recording some of that, the thought process at least, was that if I record some of that or all of it for this 100-day challenge, I can't hide. You know what I mean? Like I can't hide. Whether I post it or not, I can't hide from going back and looking into that and going, oh, you dumb. Right? I can't hide from myself anymore. I can't look away and go, "Ooh, that didn't happen." I can't do that anymore. So that's where it started, and then it kind of grew into this thing of like, well, you know, I think it'd be cool for people to see kind of what the day in the life of this looks like. Not that my days are spectacular or fancy or anything like that. I mean, like the down and dirty of like what this solopreneur, small business owner, an army of one kind of thing looks like, on the road, at home, down in the dirt, the highs, the lows, the kind of all that stuff while creating content, while doing a podcast, while being on planes more than I'm not on planes, while trying to figure out how to balance health and fitness. Like that's hopefully some of the output of this is being less fat. Yeah. I'm not going to say I want to be a certain number. I just want to be less fat and I want to feel good. I feel kind of old right now. And I hope I'm not like whining to you. I promise I'm not whining because I'm doing something about it. And all of that stuff though. I wanted to share all of that stuff with you. What all this looks like that you don't see, like behind those wacky videos, behind the podcast, behind all that stuff. So the challenge is to do all of that as much as I possibly can for the next 100 days. I'll probably release those weekly. I don't know. You know me. I'm not going to throw out a schedule because I don't need more stress. I'm going to post them when I feel like posting them, when I have one ready for you. But they will capture roughly 100 days of what I've got going on, of what we just said. So if you're interested in that, if that sounds like something that would be kind of cool and neat, if you just want to see me go, today's horrible, which I hope it's not too much of that. If you want to see kind of how I make videos and you want to see the camera that I use, the cameras, I'm working on getting another one. If you want to see kind of how I do podcasts, I'm literally recording myself in the background with my camera right now as I'm talking to you to put into this first episode of this thing. Just YouTube. There you go. Yeah. So I wanted to share some of that backstory with you, I guess. But with all that out of the way, do I have anything else to share with you? I don't think so. If I do, I'll pepper it in somewhere in between. But let's just jump right on into today's episode. So today I wanted to get a little bit weird with you again. I know we did the AI questions weird, which that wasn't too weird. That was pretty cool, actually. This is more in the vein of the episode I did with my amazing friend Stephen Harvey not that long ago, where we talked about being creative and humor and all that kind of stuff that I think we tend to overlook in our professional business kind of jobs. We forget the importance of that stuff a lot. If you haven't listened to that episode, make sure you go back and you tune into it. But I wanted to share with you some thoughts, I think, again, loose, conversational, just some thoughts. I did jot down a couple bullet points, some kind of pro tips, I guess, to share with you around maybe my take, my approach, kind of how I've been doing this a bit lately. So those tips will be a good kind of grounding as we get towards the end of this conversation, because I'm probably going to go a little bit rambly. I want to start here. I want to start by saying that we ignore creativity in our roles a lot of times as professionals, unless it's specifically designated as a creative type of role. And even in a lot of our big fancy corporations, our creative folks are kind of hobbled. They're boxed in at the very least by saying, yeah, you can get creative, but only with inside of these exact design parameters, only if you use these exact words. And here's your list of no-no words. And like some of that stuff, I get it. Like, yeah, for good reason. I'll give you an example of this. I'll give you a bit of an example of this just right out of the gate, how I think we really, really kind of cut our nose off despite our face. The organization that I was working for some years back, we were early adopters in this world of sticky shit that kills you, right? And so we went down that path of kind of working up what that would look like for us internally, working up what that kind of branding and promotion and conversation would look like for us internally, making our own version basically of that internally. And we had a great group of creative folks at our disposal. So there's going to be a couple stories in this, I think, because we used this group throughout the very beginning of our hop journey. We leaned on them for their expertise and their muscle, right? Like, go make this for me, you know, as we were kind of working through what this looks like, this story of change and human and organizational performance and focus on critical risk and all that stuff that we were doing at the time, again, working internal to this organization. And so I'm going to start with this last story first, and then we'll rewind and tell you about the other one. But we were wanting to do sticky stuff, and we were wanting to make sticky stickers. Yeah, we were wanting to do stuff like that. And I remember this conversation like vividly. Like, we were at a site. We were at a power plant, and some of these creative folks were out there doing some stuff with us. And we cornered them in the parking lot talking about this stuff. And it's like, we need just sticky stickers, and we want like this kind of stuff, and these energy sources kind of, you know, cool sticker. And like, our folks that just freaking love stickers are telling us that if we're going to do this, they want stickers. Like, they want stickers. The sticky thing really resonates with them. They're digging it. It makes sense. They've helped us design what this should look like. They've been hand on the wheel, frontline employees through all of this. And here's what we want. And I remember the creative people were like just in shock. They were like, no, well, no. You will need vice presidential approval to be able to do that. Why? It has no words in it. No words. You can't say kill. You cannot use kill in anything that we do. What if someone takes that sticker that says shit that kills you or stuff that kills you, even if you censor the shit, we're not even concerned about the shit part. That's not scary. I mean, that's bad. That's bad if they see our little company icon next to something that has the word shit in it. That's terrible. That's bad. But even worse, oh my God, even worse. Could you imagine if someone put one of these stickers on the back of our trucks that says kill? Those are heads exploding. Yeah, thou shalt not use those words. Like, really? Really? Well, what should we use? I don't know. Things that, shit that can stuff that can possibly harm people if they don't pay enough attention. Like, come on, right? Yeah, like, ridiculous, yeah? Yeah, but I rewind that, and that's not too much of a surprise, because if we rewind that story a bit to the very beginning, we went to them and said, here's what we're doing. They sit through fundamental stuff. We had them at our hip for a while so they could observe and see kind of what this change is, what we're really talking about, which, pro tip, do that. And then we gave them like full creative license. We want you to go, we're going to really like gut all of our safety imagery stuff. Now, to give you maybe some of the farther backstory on this, hey, I guess we are talking about safety and hop stuff, huh? But if we're going to really give you the full backstory on this, the first effort of this was like, we're getting rid of all the weird safety crap, all the dumb safety posters, all the you, all, we're getting rid of all that stuff. Part of this is we ripped down all the clocks, all the day count crap. We got rid of all that stuff. We clean slated it. Yeah. And then as we went back to them and said, we want one something that really tells a story of what we're doing now. Where we're going. We want it to be forward looking, not pointed at you or me, but we want it to be a we thing. We want it to give us this forward momentum. We want it to be focused on this idea of continually growing and learning and improving. And basically what they came back with us, because they thought it's what would clear the executive's desk, was basically like a logo that said like, hey, be careful out there. Like, it was so stupid. It was the dumbest thing ever. And it's like, no, try again. And then they came back with one that's like, safety first. It's like, no. Now eventually, once we got them to take a bit of risk, and some of that risk came with just blame me. Like, if the executives hate it, blame me. They landed on something that was much cooler, which it is trademarked and copyrighted. And like, so I'm not going to throw it out here because you would find out who that particular company is. And that's not my place here. I'm just going to say what they came up with was badass. Like, one of the best things we've ever seen. But yeah, you see like the struggle, because it's always this push pull in that world. Now, I want to kind of get here though. This is where I'm getting after. I just wanted to share those examples with you. And I think it does lead into exactly what I'm going to tell you next. And you've heard me say this before, if you've been around for more than probably just this episode, it sounds like this: the stuff that works outside of work works at work too. Yeah. What I mean by that is when you cross that magical gate into a facility, when you walk into that office building, when your employees find themselves on that job site far, far away, when they clock in or you clock in or whatever that looks like for you, things don't just magically stop working. Like, things don't just change. It's not like I was once in the real world and now I'm in the work world. That's not how this works. People are freaking people. Right? We know this. Duh, people are people. The way that they like to onboard information, the way that they like to seek out information, all that stuff, all the stuff that we have learned over the years of how social media works, the way that we've learned about YouTube and podcasting and all of this stuff, that stuff is the same. So when they get to work, why do we like draft them a memorandum that sounds like it comes from the freaking bank? Like, it's dumb. Yeah, we have to pull any soul out of it, any life out of it, any creativity out of it, any passion out of it, and we make it just yeah, we make it beige. Yeah, we make it beige. And I think probably more important here, not only are we ignoring the way that people tend to like to take up information. And sure, like, that's always different. That's always different from person to person. The best way to find out how your people want to get these different messages is to go spend time talking to them instead of just freaking guessing or sending them that stupid memorandum through a fax machine that shows up in the break room. Like, bleh. Go spend time, ask them. They'll tell you. They'll tell you if you're sincere. They'll tell you. But the worst thing about this, and this goes so far beyond just how we share information and laugh and participate and learn in our workplaces, but into maybe where this episode actually goes is into just generally creating things and sharing things. The biggest thing that sticks out to me about those as an end recipient, as the end user of getting communications like that, of being on the receiving end of those safety campaigns or otherwise, is that they're inauthentic. There's no authenticity there. Now, the thing is that you can be just about anything in this world. Okay? You can. You can be an axe murderer and in prison, and you're going to have people that are going to send you letters asking to marry you. It happens every single day. Every single day. At the worst, like, you can just, I'm not going to say suck. Let's just say that whatever it is that you're really, really, really working on, you're just not good at it. And we are all not good at something. Trust me, I've got plenty of things I'm not good at. You can do that. And people say, huh, good on you. Good. Giving it the old college try there. Cool. Cool, 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 cool. Like it. Love it. You can do that. You can stumble, you can fall down, you can mix up your words, you can mispronounce things. I'm the king of that. You can say, hey, hold on a second, I need to drink some coffee, and I'm not taking the time to edit this out because I'm busy and lazy. So, nope, you can do all that stuff. And people will say, cool, that's cool. But the one thing that you cannot be is inauthentic. You cannot sacrifice your authenticity. The world can sniff out a fake in a heartbeat. The world can smell. The universe seeks and destroys fake. You can't be fake. You got to be you. Warts and all. You got to be you. And that applies inside of work and outside of work. Yeah, so when you're getting those things, that's what your sniffer's sniffing out. You're like, this is just bullshit. It's bullshit. It's just bullshit. Why would I entertain or absorb bullshit? I'm not. Whether it's in the world or not, in our work world or in, again, I'm drawing this line. There is no line. That's some of this too. There is no line. It's just the world. It's not work world and then real world. It's world. Yeah, it's world. But you can't be authentic. You can't be fake. You can't BS. You just can't. So, to some of, I guess, the broader conversation around creativity, I will tell you to take this or leave it. I'm on this ride with you. I am not at the. I'm not driving the bus. I'm on the bus with you. Maybe the universe is driving the bus. I don't know. God is driving the bus. I don't know. But I'm not driving the bus. Everything that I share with you like this, anything that I share with you, it's not some authoritative third voice from up on the mountain. It never has been, and it never will be. It's just my experiences. And if there's something in that for you, I hope that is valuable to you. I hope that you use it. But maybe the way to start chipping our way towards some of these bullet points is that I've spent many years in the stage profession working internal to companies. As like with many of you, I have suffered my fair share of burnout and those kind of things. Occupationally induced depression is the right way probably to put that. At the time, I was like, this is seasonal depression. And there's like, no, wait a second. This is occupationally induced. That's definitely occupationally induced something. Whether it's just like give a damn's busted or sad, like it was coming from work. Now, the reason why I say this to you, share this with you, is because as I reflected on some of this stuff, I almost always found that like it wasn't the challenge of work. It was never like there's too much to do and not enough time. We all deal with those stresses. Yeah, and sometimes that is overwhelming. I'm not saying that it's not. Of course it is. Duh. But in my particular case, what I always found is I could power through a lot of that stuff. Like I think back to an old saying that my dad would share with me that he could stand on his head and gargle peanut butter if it was like doing stuff for the right reasons. You know what I mean? Like if it makes sense, like I will stand on my head and gargle peanut butter if it makes sense to do that. Like if I know that I'm doing it for a good cause, a good reason, I know that like all that stuff. For me, I could stand on my head and gargle peanut butter if I know that it's good work and I'm doing it for the right reasons. Like those things, duh, those things matter. That we're chipping away at something, that this matters. But most important of all, if I'm getting to be my full self, I'm getting to flex my creative muscles. I'm getting to be authentically me. I have the ability through whatever means that I'm working with to express myself fully. Every time that I found myself in one of those positions where I was going, oh, I got to get the hell out of here, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, those things. I'm like, oh, my God. Where I go to work, I come home, I get in bed, I sleep. I get up, I go to work, I get home, I go to bed, I sleep. Yeah, occupationally induced depression. It was depression. Every time I found myself in those things, as I reflect on this, I was missing that. It was those roles where it's like, we're just going to do it because the vice president wants us to do it. It's like, okay, it's dumb. Well, I was like, I'll tell them that it's dumb if you want me to. Like, no, don't do that. Those situations. But more often than not, it was where I could not really, really flex those creative muscles, where I had no ability. I had no autonomy to go out and get creative and figure things out and come up with stuff on my own. I had no ability to get a little artsy fartsy with stuff, to take creative risks. I could not do any of those things. Every time that I found myself in those positions, it was related to some of that, right? So I was always like, this is horrible. Just a cog in a wheel, just told basically to shut up and just do as little as possible and smile. It's like, not for me. So I think that there's a lot here that we can talk about, but I want to say that in every single role that I've been in, at least where it's been encouraged, and that's the difference between what we were just talking about and where I'm going with this, where it was encouraged, even when it seemed like the driest of the dry of the dry, like there was always places where you can get creative. There was always stuff that's like, that thing sucks. I'm going to take a stab at fixing that, at making it cooler. like, oh, well, that's horrible. Let me take that on. Let me try it. Let me tweak it. Every one of those roles where I had the autonomy to do that and was encouraged to do that, where it sounded more like this instead of, ooh, don't you dare without 47 levels of approval because the court will ring out. It didn't sound like that. It sounded like, I don't know, you go try it. And if it's cool, like, we'll use it. And if it's not, hopefully you learn something. Like, those are the best roles ever. Those are the best roles ever. I would go out and I would try it, and sometimes it would suck, but more often than not, like, it would suck, and then I would make it better and make it better and make it better, and then it would be like raving success because I've got to be myself. I got to express myself. I got to get creative. So I think that's one of these things I want to share with you is, no matter what role you find yourself in, make sure that you have that ability, the autonomy, to go out and flex your creative muscles. That's not a nice to have in any part of us being humans. You have to do that. You have to do that. And if you can't do it at work, do it at home. Right? I don't know what you do for that creative fun, but there's not a single person on this planet that's not creative. This whole thing of like, oh, those are the creative people and I'm just not a creative. Bullshit. Bullshit. There is something that you have in your life that is creative. I promise you that. Think about it. Take a moment of silence. Yeah. I would tell you to close your eyes, but maybe you're driving. Yeah. Think about it. There's something there. Make sure that you carve out time to do that. Do that stuff. Don't pretend like it's a nice to have. It's a must have. You need to do that stuff. In the times when I was dealing with that stuff that I was just sharing with you, occupationally induced depression, from lack of creative ability or opportunity in my roles, I expressed it in different ways. I did more podcasts, maybe. I started to get into graphic design a bit. But you know what I really did? I would go outside. So this time I was a leader and I was working from home when I wasn't traveling around. And I would go outside and I had buckets of freaking cheap paint and canvases outside on my back deck. And I suck at painting, but I would paint stuff. Yeah. And even if it was for 5 minutes, and I would feel immediately refreshed. Yeah. And on top of that, it was a cool thing I could do with Avery when she was home from school too. But it was sick. It was cool. Yeah, it was cool. Find whatever that is for you and do it. Don't pretend like it's just like a, don't pretend that it's just something that, well, if I ever get time, I'll finally, no, run with it now. Don't waste time thinking that it's not required. It is required. It is a huge element, even if it's just for the simple fact of de-stressing your life a bit, of picking up that paintbrush or whatever it is, that stylist, and drawing stuff on the computer or drawing cartoons or not drawing anything, picking up your guitar, playing the drum set that's been sitting in your garage for years that's just collecting dust, or going out and wrenching on that project car. That's your creative outlet. That's art. That's just as much of art as anything else. Have you ever seen somebody that's just like zen on a lawnmower? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And they just make those beautiful lines. I can't do that. That's art. That's it. Do those things. Make sure that you carve out time to do those things. Especially when if work is a hellscape, a creativeless void, you know, a hellscape of nothingness, you extra need it other places. So do that. I promise you. Just try it. Just try it. Carve out time for it and do it. And if you're not smiling, going, that freaking idiot was right. Okay, I'll owe you a dollar next time I see you. Yeah. So make sure that you do that. The other thing that I wanted to say here too is that if you're on the fence about jumping into something that I think we would tend to call a hobby, but if it's a creative outlet in particular, just jump in. And so even if it's something like, I want to start making videos, you know what the answer is to that, right? It's start making videos. Yeah. The excuse is going to be, but I don't have the money to buy that stupid camera and this or that or that. Guess what you have in your pocket right now? You have your phone, or you're listening to this on your phone. It makes just as good of videos as anything else. And if you don't believe me, go YouTube, like cinematic iPhone stuff, and it will blow your freaking mind. The editing software, you can get a lot of it free, and then you can make it. If you want to be a filmmaker, the only thing stopping you from being a filmmaker is saying, I am now a filmmaker. That's it. Yeah. So you can then upload it to YouTube. There you go. You're a filmmaker. If you think you got that book in you, it doesn't have to be safety. Trust me. There's a lot better books out there than safety books. it might just be some wild story that you want to share. Just write it. Just write it. And you are now a writer. Back in the day, and what I mean by back in the day is not that long ago. What, maybe 10 years ago? It was at least way harder if it did. I think it did exist, maybe. But it was at least way harder. If you wanted to become an author, a writer, and you wanted to publish something, writing the book was hard. But that was probably the easiest step of a very hard process. Because then by the time you did that, you had to go beg somebody to print it for you. At the very least, you had to go pay somebody a whole bunch of money to print you up 20 copies of it. Yeah? That's not the world today. If you want to be a writer, guess what you do? You say, I'm a writer now. And you write the book. And you upload it into something like Amazon. And you can print it on demand. And there you go. And there are tons of other options. There are no lords and masters. There are no gatekeepers anymore. The barrier to entry is basically on the freaking floor. Don't be afraid to just jump in and go with whatever that creative something is if you're passionate about it and it's something that you really, really, really want to do. Yeah, just roll with it. Of course, there's a bazillion ways that you can blow money on buying equipment. Of course there is. Of course, if you want to start a podcast, I saw an ad not that long ago where there were, I think it was on LinkedIn, where it's like, for the low, low price of $3,500, you can purchase our podcast starter package. And I'm like, WTF? People know this is free, right? Like, you can do this for free. When I first started recording the Hop Nerd podcast, I recorded the first episodes in my car. Got to work super early before the sun come up, sitting in the parking lot of my day job, recording them on my phone. I think the app at the time was called Anchor. I think it was bought by somebody else. It was purchased. But it had a handy-dandy phone-driven podcast studio where you could just hold your phone and record your podcast into your phone and do all of it for free, totally for free. And it would send it everywhere that it needed to send it. That's how this podcast started. It didn't start with some fancy-pants microphone. It didn't start with, I need to buy a podcast recorder or something. It didn't start with any of that stuff. That stuff comes later. The fancy-pants camera comes later. Yeah, all that stuff comes later. You just start. It can be as expensive or as free as you want it to be. This is just encouragement. That's all that this is. I think we need more people making cool stuff, not less. We need your cool stuff too. And so if it's a podcast, if it's a book, if it's paintings, if it's drawings, if it's making cool videos, if it's making music, if it's photography, if it's anything out there, go for it. Now is the time. There's never been an easier time to go with it. It's just not. I mean, even when I started all this stuff, I'd sort of roll it up, round it up to maybe 10 years ago now, something right around there. I didn't start the podcast on a fancy microphone. It started on the phone. I didn't start recording videos on a nice camera. I mean, I've got a cool camera now, and I'm trying to get another one. But they're amateur, I think, compared to a lot of what some people do. But I didn't even start on this firmly planted mid-grade camera. I started with an old webcam I had in a drawer. Yeah. And taking a lamp from my bedroom and basically tilting the shade towards my face a little bit to try to get a little bit of light on myself. I then plugged that into, I think it was Windows Movie Maker at the time I was using. And there you go. You're in business. You're making videos. The list goes on and on and on and on and on and on. The biggest thing that changed for me, and this is, I think, getting into some bullet points here for you, is that I've been doing this stuff for a long time. The videos are pretty new. I mean, I've done videos. Yeah, you know the videos. I've been doing videos since the beginning. But getting super creative with the videos and all that stuff, it really started back when I was coming up with some of my New Year's resolutions. And I was putting some thought into these months before New Year's. I'm not a write everything down with strategic goals. And if I don't meet those strategic goals, I'm going to basically hate myself forever and until the end of time. And I'm going to do this in a spreadsheet. I'm just not that person. Some people that works well for them. That doesn't work too well for me. I wanted to go like broader goals, and some would call them hippity dippity kind of goals, maybe even. But where I really wanted to land with this was around things that I felt like I know I just need to improve on. They were back to maybe some of what we're talking about before. Good work, right reasons, fun, happy kind of goals. That's really where I landed. So what I really landed on for 2025, the first one I wrote down was be too much. Yeah. Stop holding back. Like life's too freaking short. Don't hold back. Just full on send it mode. Don't hold back. Be too much. The other one that kind of leads into is lose all focus on being palatable. And I shared these, I think, back during another episode, but lose all focus on being palatable. Like I'm not creating stuff just to make people happy. That's not what I'm doing. Out of Rick Rubin's The Creative Act book, there's a great thing in there where he talks a lot about, and I beat you to death with this one over this episode and episode with Steve, and probably mentioned it before, but like audience comes last. You have to be happy with stuff first. If what you're making, you're proud of and it makes you happy, who gives a shit about the rest of it? Yeah. Who cares? That's not the point. If you focus on being palatable to a particular person or a particular group of folks, you're never going to say the real things that you want to say. You're always going to be molding your words. You're always going to be molding your design. You're always going to be changing your videos to try to fit what you think will please other people. And guess what happens? You can't please other people. And guess what happens? They sniff that out as fake, as we said. Be you. Don't worry about being palatable. It's not worth your time, right? So those kind of New Year's resolutions and goals, I guess, I threw in some other ones about wearing funny outfits and daydreaming more and just really kind of landing on this of just raw, unfiltered, authentic work, life, living, all of it, right? Which really kind of builds me towards this idea or this point that I'm trying to draw you towards. Is that I got to this point when I started making these funny videos that I just decided, like, I'm having all these cool ideas. And a lot of times when I'm having these ideas, I'm going, it's too much. People are going to get mad at me over that one. Oh, no, that's hilarious. But, and I would let them just like drift off into space. Or I'd say, I've got more important things to do than be creative. We're talking about that too. I've got more important things to do than make this stupid video. I need to record a video talking about the bullet points of this. Yeah, we all do that. I know. And those things are important too. But you need to have this other stuff happen as well. So what I'm saying is I decided that I would not let these ideas die in my head anymore. I just wouldn't. No matter the medium, whether it's video, audio, music, I don't care, graphic design, painting, something. If I have an idea that I'm like, oh, I love that idea, I'm not going to let it die in my head anymore. I would go to work and I'd figure out like crazy how to pull that into real life as best as I can. Making videos, shooting pictures, designing things, doing podcasts that are wackier than your normal everyday podcast, working with what I had on hand, figuring it out and just getting creative, figuring it out and being creative. Make things that make me happy, make me giggle. Make things that I wish I had back when I first started doing all this stuff or back when I first started doing hop stuff. Those things that I would find useful, that I would find meaningful, that would matter to me. That's it. Now on to the few bullet points that I wanted to share with you. And I know you're probably going like, we've been waiting on these stupid freaking bullet points like forever. And I hate to tell you that if you stuck around just waiting for the bullet points, they're not going to be mind blowing to you. I don't think so. As nothing that I share with you should be mind blowing. But they are things that I have found extremely useful to me, in making sure that I do all the stuff that we've just kind of talked about, at least as much as I possibly can. The first one is don't wait. And what I mean by that is if you like an idea, make it and make it now. Yeah. I say this again, I don't know. I feel like I'm sharing with you a bunch of stuff that I've already shared, but this, I picked this quote up. I think it's a Stephen King quote. And as we know with all quotes, it's probably not. And it's, you know, I'm sure I'll hear from the quote police if I posted this on LinkedIn. Like, don't you know that Stephen King never said that? That's actually from 1432 and we found it scribbled on a brick somewhere. Like, okay, quote police, like F off. Like, nobody cares. It's the quote that matters. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's the important part of this. It's this, that a writer's notebook is where good ideas go to die. And that always stuck with me. I'm like, huh. And then it kind of continues on. It's like, if it's such a good idea, why are you waiting? Like, if you're really amped up, if you're jazzed up about this idea, if it's the best idea ever and you're so excited about it, you would never scribble it in your notebook and say, I'll do that one of these days. No, that's a shit idea. That's like the B-roll idea. That's the idea that's not exciting you. Because if you are excited by it, you will just... hell or high water, we're doing this right now because this is like the coolest thing ever. Yeah. Now, what I don't mean by that is that to just like quit your job and like burn down your house and then because burning down a house would look cool on video. Like, I don't mean that. Like, if things are busy, like I do that. Like, I'll scribble it on a post note and be like, ooh. I'll take some action on it. I'll scribble out the premise of it. I'll scribble out some ideas. I'll scribble out what I need to do it. And then I will make time as soon as I possibly can to go do it. Of course. Like, if this idea hits you on a plane, you can't just be like, excuse me, do you have a podcasting rig here? You just can't do that. Of course you can't. But I'm telling you, don't wait. Don't hesitate. Just do it. And you'll be thankful that you did. Yeah. Doing that, prying ideas out of your head, even if you think about them as ideas that you've just connected with, you're not just like thinking hard and pushing them out, but maybe you've just plucked them out of the air. We all have those ideas. To have that gift of a cool idea, to then only let it die a slow and painful death in your notebook, that's worse than just never having them to begin with. that's worse than just forgetting about them. The next one is something we've already chatted about a bit, so I'll keep it kind of short, but don't create for others. The audience, if there is one, comes last. If you're creating to please anyone other than yourself, you're being inauthentic. Yeah, please yourself first. The audience is always a good test. Yeah, you can throw it out there afterwards and see how it connects. And maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. But if you're happy with it, at the end of the day, even if you get one like, one click, one read, one download, if you're pumped about it and you're proud of it, that's all that matters. That's it. The next thing is do it every day. This is hard. So I keep this one really broad for myself, but do it every day. If you love it, you'll crave it, even if it's just for a few minutes. Do it every day. So what this means for me, and I mean the doing something creative every single day, it's easy to drown in emails. It's easy to find yourself in some type of corporate hell where there's just no creative outlet for you. It's easy to find yourself locked on airplanes. And of course, yeah, look, we all do this. We're all living this thing. But even when I'm on the road, even when I'm traveling a bunch, like I find a way, even if it's just a little like scribbling out a little comic book character in my notebook while I'm sitting on the plane. That's it. I did it. Keep it easy. It doesn't mean that I'm going to record a song. Like, it doesn't mean that I'm going to pack every piece of camera equipment that I own with me from here to Guam. Like, I'm not going to do that because that's hell to lug that stuff around, in case you don't know. I'm not going to like Indiana tomorrow and be like, I'm going to take all of my stuff with me. No, like, I'm not doing that. I'll do that stuff when I get back. But I have a notebook and I have a pen and I have a computer and I can draw and I can sketch and I can write out ideas and I can write a script for something. And I can go on and take pictures of my phone and then edit them on my computer if I want to be taking photographs of beautiful Guam or Indiana or anywhere else in between. Like, those are all things. Keep it easy, especially in times when it's busy and it's stressful and it's hard to create. Just don't drop it off. Just don't be like, I'll do that tomorrow. No, just find something, even if it's just a minute of your time. Do it, and do it every single day. So there you go. I know, rambly, messy, rantish, but important. I guess a couple final things to kind of pull all of this together. I already gave you the bullet points. I think those do pretty well, again, to be pretty good pro tips. Maybe to recap a bit is creativity matters in every single profession, at least that I've ever been in, and every single person that I know that is a professional doing just about anything. Creativity, it matters in work. But even if for some reason you are in a role where you just cannot have any creativity at all for whatever reason, it still matters to you as a human. So make sure you're doing something creative, trying your best to do something creative every single day, whatever it is that you want to do that's creative. It doesn't have to be a podcast, doesn't have to be painting a picture. It can be absolutely anything. Use that. When you're thinking about communicating with people, especially communicating with people at work, remember that the stuff that works outside of work works at work too. Don't send them a letter from the bank. It doesn't work that way. If I see a letter or a memorandum from the bank, I'm just going to like quickly read it. Nothing important to shred it. Like, I don't care because it's just cold and it feels like BS. Yeah. So just be real. Be authentically you in every way that you possibly can. And then, of course, as we said, the bullet points. There they are. Don't wait. Don't create for others, for others, and do it every day. And last but not least, to put the period on the end of this sentence, as always, take it or leave it. Yeah, this is just my perspective, y'all. This is just what I've been living through and lived through for the past 10 years, really-ish, since starting the podcast. You know, the past numerous years of running this little business that has a huge creative part of it that comes along with it. That started long before the business itself did. And then 20-ish years working in the safety profession and human and organizational performance overall, or internal to companies. These are just things that I picked up along the way. And I would be, if I'm being completely honest with you, just some things that I wish I heard a long, long time ago, that I wish I heard 10 years ago, 15 years ago. I wish I heard this stuff 10 or 15 years ago. So, but again, as always, take it or leave it. You know, I'm the same as you, as everybody else. I'm just figuring this out and not taking anything all too seriously. So there you go. Thanks for being here. Make sure you check out the website, www.thehopnerd.com. Let me know of anybody that you'd like to see on the show. I've been working up some ideas about getting some guests. I've got some thoughts. I haven't really had the time yet to connect with folks. But if you've got folks that you're thinking like, ooh, I would like, you know, you align with kind of what we're talking about here. You think you'd fit in here in our wacky world of the Hop Nerd LLC and Hop Nerd podcast. I would love to have you on the show, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, it is Sam Goodman signing off. Love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. For listening, everybody, we greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd podcast, the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.